There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
The question is, how brave of a council is it? And we will address that later on in the show, as yesterday Mobile City Council had their ad hoc meeting talking about the proposal from Councilman Joel Daves to pull back from the police jurisdiction. We'll continue that discussion coming up at around 12:30 today on Midday Mobile. And Midday Mobile is live aboard the USS Alabama at Battleship Memorial Park. My absolute, I say it every time, it doesn't change, favorite place to do a radio broadcast is right here on the fantail of the USS Alabama. And welcoming us on board, our friend and Major General Janet Combe, Executive Director of Battleship Memorial Park. Thanks for having us.
Welcome. Always glad to have you back at your second home here aboard the USS Alabama.
It really is. I send pictures out, and I got radio people that I deal with around the country, and they're always like, yeah, that's a
pretty cool.
Great place to do a broadcast.
It is.
And it's just a great place to be. All the stuff going on here, not just the Alabama, but all the other displays. I mean, we talk about the drum a good bit, and that's been, I mean, you've been doing a lot of work on the drum.
We have. We've been doing some real heavy blasting on the internal tanks. You know, the interior of the sub actually rests on the fuel tanks, and the they're just huge 16 tanks up under there that are for buoyancy, and we have to do that maintenance. You know, they took her out of the water in 2001 to preserve her. A lot of subs around the country are having a lot of trouble keeping their hulls intact, but we still have to work on the drum's hull. So that's about a year-long project. We've got a company doing a great job on that, and Tom Bowser, who is a contractor and a longtime volunteer here at the park, is overseeing that project with Leslie Waters, who is, we call her chief of the boat. She's worked for the Battleship Park for many years, and her main assignment the whole time she's been here has been aboard the drum doing maintenance.
Well, I want to recommend people when they come out, if they say, well, you know, I've been out, but I hadn't been in a year or two. If y'all hadn't been here in a year or two, you're missing out.
Because
local folks, you know, we do that. Like, unless we have relatives come in or whatever, and they, of course, want to come see the Alabama, we're like, I hadn't been down there a year or two.
And there are so many new exhibits that we are working on, and we're doing a lot of internal cleaning, painting, because for us, paint and all the modern paint is so good. You know, the primer, the paint, it's maintenance for us. It's maintenance here every day. But we just repainted the wardroom a good, clean Officer Country green, and just working throughout. We're down outside the payroll and the pay offices, and then over damage control in the chapel area. All that will be repainted, and those exhibits back up and running by the end of the spring.
I love it. I want to keep talking about some of the great things going on, but we do have to talk about something that happened over the weekend that's a heartbreaker for a lot of folks, where you had a car chase, a criminal is escaping, you know, trying to elude police, and comes and crashes into the Korean War Memorial.
Sean, we wonder, was this person even from this area? If you turn south at the causeway, you know it's just water, or either even Battleship Park runs out of land eventually. So yes, in the early morning hours, I guess about 2:30, a suspect in a pickup truck was eluding police on a chase on the causeway, inexplicably turned into Battleship Park, somewhat foggy, rammed and just destroyed our automatic gate.
That's what was the first question. How'd they get in? They went through the gate.
Just plunged right through the gate at high speed and then missed that curve. You know, that's almost a 90-degree curve to come down toward the B-52. Sitting right there is our beautiful Korean War Memorial that was first dreamed up and discussed in 1999 by the Gulf Coast chapter of the Korean War Veterans Association. They came to the Battleship Commission and said at the close of their reunion that they wanted to raise money to build a memorial to honor those who were from Alabama who died or were missing in action in Korea, 1950 to 1953. And in 2002, in June, the memorial was dedicated, and then 2 years later, the Battleship Commission took over the memorial for the care and maintenance of it. The good thing for us, and we've had so many people call us and say, we'd like to send some money and to help with the repair,
right?
And that will be welcome. That will go in a fund that wisely the veterans themselves set up when they turned it over to the park. So I'm thankful to be able to say that we will not have to deal with insurance.
Okay.
We have the money to fix it because the veterans themselves, whatever that cost will be, we've had two companies come out and give us estimates so far. So we'll get a couple more. We'll be able to pay for that. And what we'll do is that on Facebook, we've had about $1,000 donated, and we will put that in the Korean War Memorial Fund and use that money toward the repairs. How it will shake out, if they'll ever find this guy, you know, the truck caught fire. Our friends at Mobile Fire Rescue came, put the fire out. We're so grateful for that. We've been working with the Mobile Police Department. They came out and photographed, and I met with some of those folks yesterday. So I don't know if they'll ever find him, but our job here is not to worry about that. My job is to make sure that we get this memorial repaired as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And our friend Walter Ballard, Sergeant Walter Ballard, Korean War combat veteran, Harry Sims, several of those gentlemen came out Monday afternoon and walked around with me, and they're happy to know that we're going to get on it right away.
You know, it's this dichotomy of it. There's part of it's just the physical damage to the structure and what it costs to build that. But it's also an emotional side for people who would come there to see that destroyed.
It is. And even the gentleman that came and worked with us on the first estimate was walking around. He said, you know, it's not the stone.
Yeah.
It's what it represents.
Yeah.
And, you know, the men that were here the other day were combat infantry, Marines that were here. So they were in that bitter weather. They were, you know, took the fight to the enemy at that time. And they're so proud. And my gracious, they're all around 90, 91, 92 years old. But they were out here to look at it. And I was pleased that I could tell them, thanks to what they did, 1999, 2000, 2001, building the memorial, funding future repairs, that we'll be able to take care of that.
Okay, you mentioned the Facebook page. So people go where? Where would they go? Just go to the park page on Facebook?
Yes. I don't have any more detail than that. I hate to say, and for all of you out there that send me friend requests for Facebook, yes. I have a page so that I can look at the battleship page. But if you don't hear
thing.
From me, it's a time thing. I'd be addicted to it, I'm afraid.
So, but if people go there, there will be a way to go.
Yes.
I know you say these people put the money in. But you know how this community is.
Yes.
People want to show that they care and they can help.
They do. They do. And Tom Claxton just handed me a check a few minutes ago. Our Marine friend that I'll visit with at 1 o'clock with him and Cal Walters on Scuttlebutt. And we'll turn that over. That account is in the Battleship Foundation. And we'll turn that over to them and put it toward the repairs. And however it works out, if they ever find this guy, if there's restitution, if there are any other things to be dealt with financially, we'll worry about that later. We can take care of our memorial, and we will do so quickly.
Right. Okay. That's okay. So this obviously you've already had the contractors out here looking at it.
Yes.
So there's no delay in this.
No. And one good thing is that we, thanks to Sergeant Walter Ballard, we were told that the original granite for the main part of the memorial that was broken in three pieces, the map of the Koreas, came out of a quarry in Elberton, Georgia. And looking in our records, we were able to discover we have the information for the original company that did all the CAD drawing, the design, and all that. We've already been in touch with them, so they'll come and consult with us on the best way to move forward. So
obviously, I never thought there would be any moss growing on you, but obviously there's not, because this just happened and you've already gone through the process of having this. No surprise, General.
Well, you
no
know,
surprise,
that's
General.
Why I'm here. No, and, yes. You know, the other thing is, even if that money was not there, we would take it out of Hyde and get it fixed.
Yeah, I know y'all would. Before we wrap up here, I want to talk about just something that's self-serving, because hopefully I'm going to get a chance to check it out. Can you talk a little bit about the radio room for the USS Alabama and what's going? Because I know we've talked about it before. There's events out here where ham radio operators who come out to be on the ship. Talk to me about what goes on here.
We've got two groups that have been part of our family here at Battleship Park for decades. One is the Lower Alabama Radio Flying Club. We've talked about them, the guys that fly the model planes, the younger guys that have brought the drones to the park and how they interact now. And the other is the ham radio club that is broadcasted out here for decades. They come and we usually hook them up in the wardroom and they'll bring their ham radios and they broadcast all over the world. They broadcasted from the USS Drum, from the submarine. What we're working on now is thanks to two men that are intimately involved with the USS Massachusetts, the Alabama sister ship, and the sole two survivors there of the South Dakota class. They come down every year about this time. They spend about a week, and they work down in Radio 3, Radio 2, the huge old transmitters with the low numbers like transmitter number 3, you know, manufacturer
wow.
number. And they fire those things up, and eventually we'll be able to do some transmission from there. So they're back. And Chris Nardi, Dick Ross, come down every year. And last year, Chris Nardi, we were proud as a member of the Historic Naval Ships Association to nominate Chris for the Preservation Maintenance Award that HINSA gives every year, worldwide organization. And we nominated him for his work here. And he was presented with that award, and we were very honored. We sent that to the USS Massachusetts board, and they presented it to him. I'm not sure he knew he had won, but we mailed it up there a couple of months ago. So very proud of Chris and very grateful. They come down on their own dime.
So these radio transmitters, they're looking at that. These were the transmitters that were used for the USS Alabama to communicate with other
with
naval
the fleet,
assets.
That's right. That's right. With the Pacific Fleet, shore batteries, anything, any way that communication would have.
Those are still here. That's
they're still here. And when you go down there and hear them hum and see those things fire up, it is crazy.
I'm going to be doing that before I get out of here.
We're going to get you down there. I'm going to get in touch with our curator in a few minutes, Shay McClain, and get you to go down there.
I love it. All right. Remind folks, too, hours each, you know, we're open every day except for
Christmas Day. We're in our winter hours. We're open 8 to 4 o'clock. The gift shop closes, so the last ticket's sold then. The park's actually open till 5. Our front gate, we have another locking gate that's a manual gate that we have to lock after that. But come out and see us. It's a great time of the year. We had great crowds for the Lending Tree Bowl that
mm-hmm.
came out.
Yeah.
We discounted people wearing their team colors, and we had both teams here.
Good.
We had their bands, and great partnership with those folks at the Lending Tree Bowl, and there are people climbing all over the ship today. A little foggy, but another great day at Battleship Memorial Park. Thank you for coming back out.
Hey, thanks for having us. Major
Absolutely.
General Jamie Cobb, Executive Director of Battleship Memorial Park, and we're going to roll on more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5 live from my favorite place abroad. Podcast, a fan tale of the USS Alabama.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and we are live at Battleship Memorial Park on the fantail of the USS Alabama, and hopefully if you get a chance to stop by and see us, grab some FM Talk 106.5 goodies while we also chat with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And what's up on this Wednesday?
Man, how's it going today, Sean?
I'm doing a show from a battleship, man. Life is pretty good.
Yes, it doesn't get much better than that, does it? Well, I've got good news here at Mobile Bay Coins. Everybody's been anxiously waiting for those 2020 Silver Eagles, and they are going to be arriving this afternoon.
Oh, cool. Okay. So, after lunchtime here, or later on this afternoon, or?
Yeah, anytime soon. And it's always one of those things that sort of intrigues me, Sean. I'm never that person that has to be the first to see the movie or the first to get the new thing. But mm-hmm. we have a lot of customers that have been calling since the beginning of the year, actually probably since Thanksgiving, wanting to know when those new 2020 items are coming in. And finally, I'm able to give them good news and let them know that they will be here today.
All right. That's great news. Also, talk about if they're in there looking and buying those Silver Eagles, what else do you want them to check out?
Check out the additional Open L's that we picked up the other day. Got those restocking on the shelves. We're expanding a lot more of the kitchen knives. It was amazing how many people love those. Of course, you and I both love the Open L Outdoor and the traditional Open L Number 8, but those Open L kitchen knives have been really popular as well.
All right. Take him directions to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always check us out online, mobilebaycoins.com, or check us out on social media, Instagram and Facebook.
Angelo, we appreciate it. We'll check back with you soon.
Have a good one, buddy.
Hey, will do, and continue the show out here. By the way, Scuttlebutt comes on at 1 o'clock. Tom and Cal are here. Lots to talk about with the Scuttlebutt Radio Network. Of course, that's one of the programming changes with Auburn basketball tonight, 8 o'clock, Auburn versus Alabama. That's 8 o'clock broadcast here on FM Talk 106.5. And my buddy Dale Leash from Lanyap joins us here in just about 10 minutes or so, or even less. We'll be talking about what happened yesterday in the ad hoc. Now, I've been calling it the Ham Hoc Committee, but the Ad Hoc Committee that met after the Mobile City Council proper meeting, talking about the pullback, possible pullback, the ordinance proposed by Councilman Joel Daves to pull fire and police back from the police jurisdiction. But before that, and I don't want to say where this goes in my stack of priorities and news, but I'm going to say it's right here about the middle of the hour is where I put some of the strongest stories. And this headline: Game wardens put an end to Sand Mountain Sam, Alabama's weather-predicting possum. Now, these are sad days. Now, you know Punxsutawney Phil, right? So they got the groundhog that comes out and tells you how much more winter, or it's going to be spring soon. Well, Punxsutawney Phil has his match in Alabama, and that has been Sand Mountain Sam. Albertville, Alabama, and the story from AL.com, Albertville-based country radio station, 105.1 WQSB, another one from Travis Tritt, has brought Sam out each year on Groundhog Day to predict the weather in the same way his more famous cousin, Punxsutawney Phil. He's not a cousin, by the way, AL.com, right? He's a possum. Groundhog, they might be very, very distant cousins. They would have to go to 23andMe or Ancestry.com to get, because one, they're a different critter. Okay, I just want to point out. Recently, WQSB's official possum handler, the local pet groomer, was informed by state game wardens that having a possum as a pet is against state law and a live animal can't be used in this year's event. Believe me, I've got my calls into DCNR in Montgomery. I'm raising Cain already. Violations would result in, what do y'all think? You're thinking fines, right? You're riding down the road eating your lunch somewhere, you think it's probably a fine. Would result in arrest of those involved. That means handcuffs, y'all. According to a press release, Alabama law prohibits any protected wildlife from being held in captivity, as in kept as pets. That includes all game animals, birds, and fur bearers, including bear, beaver, coyote, deer, possum, rabbit, raccoon, squirrel. I'm throwing a flag here. It says nutria. Like, we want to get rid of nutria. I guess it's not good to keep them as a pet because they get away. We want to nutria, fox, and mountain lion. Oh, groundhog and bobcat. Red wolf, feral swine, and alligator on the list as well. Let me point out that there's like 11 red wolves left. They're like one of the most endangered critters in the United States. But if you got one, you're breaking the law. Other protected fur bearers on this list include mink. They'll bite you. Otter. They'll bite you. And skunk. Well, they'll bite you and spray you. WQSB has hosted Possum Day every year since 1993. Sam is his... Sand Mountain Sam, the possum. His record is impressive, y'all. 25 correct predictions versus one incorrect, which was in 1993. Now, think about that. Compare that to Punxsutawney Phil. Punxsutawney Phil is like, he bats maybe 600, maybe. Possum Day celebration will continue this year, the station said, but in a different form. Instead, Sam will have to call into the radio station on January 31st at 7:45 to make his live prediction on air. So you'll call in. The official Groundhog Day, complete with Punxsutawney Phil's prediction of a lingering winter early spring, will follow on Sunday, February 2nd. So I just wanted before, you know, Dale can hear me. I don't want to, you know, say that this discussion and his writing on Mobile City Council is not top of the fold, but Sand Mountain Sam has come to an end. Okay, and yes, it is. The big government has stepped in and said so. Now, I believe in protecting critters, and I don't think people need to have a bunch of wild animals as pets. But can we have an exception? Can we have a dispensation? I mean, the possum that's on your back porch probably tonight at about 10 o'clock eating your cat's food, okay? They're not a rare red wolf. They're a possum. A possum. They're not Sand Mountain Sam, but they're a possum. So, state, please. Please. You know, maybe somebody up there, I've got some friends at DCNR, if y'all are listening, please, can we do something? Because we need to have Sand Mountain Sam back. All right. I don't know how he can follow the luster of that story, but my buddy Dale Leash from Landnap joins us next. Live on the battleship, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. And, oh no, it's Midday Mobile. I'm laughing because I've opened up my phone. My buddy Dale Leash from Landnap's here. Hey, Dale.
Hey.
So I'm opening up my phone. We probably won't say his name, but like I said, I know folks that are in charge of critters here in the state, right? What did I tell you during the break? If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm saying I don't think that anybody at DCNR did a stakeout of the possum.
No, right.
Right. There's no one at DCNR that. To me, I'm going to say if I'm looking for somebody that ratted out the possum, this station is WQSB. I don't know if they're continuous country favorites or your country home or the boot kicker, froggy, whatever they are. But whoever the other country radio station in town is, I would look there first for who ratted them out for Sand Mountain Sam.
Right. Maybe they can find a different animal to do.
Well, I'm looking at this. So somebody has sent me here. Says Albertville Al, his cousin, the armadillo can fill in, or either Baxter the box turtle.
Wait, but now we're calling an armadillo a cousin of a possum too?
Right, everything's
a cousin just because it's an animal.
Once they crack the genome, once we figured that out, we figured out not only they're not all the subspecies of animals we thought, that we figured out that armadillos, groundhogs and possums are all just cousins.
Who knew?
That? You see that plush version?
I do. I might buy that, actually. That is fantastic.
Well, you know, and one of the things that you and I talked about in our time during the news break there is, would this be a chance for Mobile to step in?
Right, absolutely. Pick up the mantle and see what animal we can find to guess when winter's coming.
We've been told here in this story that Nutria, you can't possess a Nutria as a pet. Now, Nutria, a feral animal, invasive species.
Right.
What if you had them neutered? What if, I'm going to have to ask the people at DCNR, what if the Nutria was neutered? There's no chance of the Nutria reproducing because we don't want that. We want Nutria gone. They're not supposed to be here, on serious note. And then we had that as Mobile had a neutered Nutria that would predict when spring's coming. It's just a look.
Nutria Nate.
Yeah. Maybe Mayor Sandy Simpson is listening to us. I know yesterday during the Mobile City Council meeting, Mayor Simpson talked about transforming the Christmas tree for the city of Mobile into a Mardi Gras tree.
That's right.
And he said it would, in his estimation to that point, the world's largest Mardi Gras tree is now a Mobile. Now, we can't get the Guinness record for elf ears. We failed that a couple times.
We have.
But it looks like we have the world's largest Mardi Gras tree.
And that's really something because I've lived in this area most of my life, and I don't recall until recently Mardi Gras trees really being that big of a thing, but maybe I missed out.
We're early adopters and we're dominating this.
Absolutely. I like it.
And I know that there's everything else is in the shadow of that statement at the city council meeting.
Nothing else is important. Nothing they talked about was more important than the Mardi Gras tree.
But after that, you did have this ad hoc committee yesterday afternoon, and you're reporting about it over at landnapmobile.com.
And you can't call it a ham hock committee this close to lunch, man. That's making me hungry.
I've started taking that because ad hoc, I think ham hock.
Yeah.
So, but this was going back to what you and I have talked about before, a ordinance proposed by Councilman Joel Daves.
Right.
Kind of, if people have been under a rock, you know, up under Sand Mountain for a while, what is the quick version of what is
so the Cliff's Notes version of this whole debate is basically the city provides police and fire protection services to residents within a 3-mile radius outside the city limits.
Okay.
Known as the police jurisdiction. This ordinance would basically take away all of those services, move them back within the city limits, and would also repeal what the city currently brings in as far as business license
right.
fees, which they take in about $2.1 million. The state requires that if you take business license fees from those areas, you have to provide that much in services. So
right, that's the deal. It's just a swap.
The city has to provide at least as long as they're taking those fees, they have to provide that much in services. That's about $2.1 million.
Okay.
Now, there is a debate over how much the city actually spends on services out there. The city's saying it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $27 million. The county has countered that and said it's more like $13 or $14 million.
Right, that was in the first paragraph, I think, of the story that you wrote yesterday. And so I'm just a hayseed from the Gulf Coast, man. But those numbers are very different.
They are, and it's all due to methodology. I've never written methodology so many times in a story before in my life, so I apologize.
Methodology
to
of what? Counting the revenue coming in, or what?
It's the methodology used to calculate how much is spent in services. So. To kind of break it down as easily as I am not a numbers guy. I am a writer for a living, so I apologize.
Hey, I'm a radio guy. Don't worry. There's two of us in here.
My understanding is that so the county, when they did a calculation, and they did the calculations for this to argue against the pullout.
Sure.
So you know, they're going to use the most advantageous numbers for them, and those happen to be they use the percentage of calls that go out into the police jurisdiction, whereas the city used the length of time for each call and averaged that.
Okay, so you're the first person that's been able to enlighten me to this.
And that is really the difference in methodology. To break it down even further, that means that by the county's numbers, 11.8% of the budget was used in the police jurisdiction for services, whereas using the city's methodology, it's more like 19%. So there's where you get the big influx. Not only or the big difference. Not only that, but the city added things like city hall overhead, and council overhead, and mayor overhead to their numbers. Basically, they took 19% of the entire budget and said, or a big chunk of support services and said, we're going to take 19% of this and add this to the number. And that's how they came up with the $27 million. The county used some of those numbers, support services, but far fewer. So they came out, that's how the numbers are. So there's like a $10 million difference in the
right.
numbers. And that's how it got to that.
So, I mean, to me, it seems like right now, I finally understand how they came up with it. And the reality is probably somewhere in between. In reality,
that's probably a fair assessment.
Now that we've gone through this portion of it, it still comes back to, I mean, there is a numbers thing.
Right.
The argument being made by Councilman Joel Days, the argument being made against by members of the county commission. But there's also the emotional side is not right.
Let me stay with the numbers for just a second and mention to you that even if you took the county's numbers, and this is just facts. I don't give my opinion
right.
in this format. I try not to.
That's what I'm here for.
But the fact of the matter is even the county's numbers, if you look at them, showed a $1.6 million disparity in the amount of revenue, both business license and all of the taxes and other fees that the city collects out there.
In other words, the city of Mobile is in the red $1.6 million.
They spend $1.6 million, according to the county, they spend $1.6 million more than they take in all revenue out there.
There's a number. They have an incentive not to have that number, so that resonates with me.
Right.
But the other part of this is, it goes back to a bigger story. I mean, I know that we're talking about this move back of the police jurisdiction, but this is joined at the hip with the vote that did not have the vote to not let the vote happen for the people to annex in.
And that's. I mean, it is joined at the hip, and a lot of the council members made that argument. And the folks that were out there speaking, you know, against the pullback, almost all of them brought up annexation as a remedy for this problem.
Yeah.
And it would be by the portion of the city that they were talking about annexing is the more urban portion of the police jurisdiction, and that is the portion that people argue, you know, the sheriff's office isn't really as equipped as it should be, as it could, not that it should be because it shouldn't be, but isn't as equipped as it could be to monitor a more urban environment police force would be. So that's one thing. And then, you know, you got businesses that are worried about fire protection that are more prevalent out in that area of the PJ than they would be in a more rural area that could be handled better by volunteers.
Yeah, and we come back. I want to talk more about this. I had the Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran in studio yesterday, and he said 48 deputies would be he would have to add.
Yeah, that makes sense because there's 44 police officers.
He said he would have to
absolutely.
Add that.
Makes sense.
Right now, they can't keep deputies and add to just with the current crew they have. So we'll talk about this more.
And we all pay county taxes. So
that's right.
There's something.
See, it's a mixed up, shook up world. It's our man, Dale Leash, coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Absolutely.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live at Battleship Memorial Park aboard the USS Alabama. Big thank you to General Cobb and the whole crew here for having us out again. My favorite place to do a radio show anywhere in the nation, right here. So dig coming out here. Also, my buddy Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, who has written the best story to try to understand that the county says this,
right.
City says this. And it's really there's one discussion between the city and the county. There's also inside the Mobile City Council disagreement.
Right.
You know, so I mean, it's got a couple levels of this. I don't know that. And you're not. I'll take my part of it. You're the journalist here. I'm the editorialist. I don't think there are enough. I don't think they get the Councilman Day's as it sits. This gets passed.
No, it'll be amended, and it'll be amended. I'll tell you one way it'll be amended. They're going to repeal the sales tax,
which they, you know,
they should do. Right?
I have said that to proponents of this.
Yeah.
I said, if you want to argue this, it has to be clean. And explain to folks who haven't been keeping up. You talk about a business tax and a sales tax.
Right.
So this proposal, this ordinance, pulls back the business tax, but leaves in this.
It does. It does. And there
for no services, but we're going to keep collecting sales tax.
Well,
I'm a Mobilian. I'm a city guy, but right. That's not right.
And the argument that the mayor had used to kind of defend that was that, you know, those folks that live in the police jurisdiction, they use our parks, they
the
use
library,
our libraries,
yeah.
Things like that. And that's all true, but I don't think that is really the spirit of what is meant by, you know, given your additional sales tax
yeah.
money to the city, you expect to have some sort of normal city,
there,
you know, whether it's garbage and trash, whether it's police, whether it's fire, you expect if you pay that money to get some sort of service in return, more than just I make the decision to go to the library that the city provides.
Right.
So, one of the things he brought up was senior centers as well. And I mean, they probably do use the senior center
yeah.
as well. But yeah, I think, you know, you heard Joel Daves yesterday come out and say that I am willing to vote for whatever amendment you bring up repealing the sales tax. So I think, and since the mayor has...
That would make a cleaner yeah, argument.
Right. And going by the numbers, again, even if you repealed all the taxes and fees out of the police jurisdiction, the most conservative county estimate that they brought up would still be a $1.6 million gain for the city.
Right. So once again, if y'all didn't hear that part, the county who would be motivated to have that number not be a deficit for the city, still, even in their numbers, in their best case, still the city is in the red $1.6 million.
That's absolutely correct. Now, the city would argue that they're in the red $12 or so million.
Sure.
But
there's
know.
Admission, even on the side
right.
that doesn't want this to happen, that the city is losing money on.
And let me say this. The city's argument for losing money, it's not necessarily that they would get a windfall of cash. Their argument is we'd reallocate all the resources within the city and we'd have enough policing and everything that
well,
we should have.
I don't want to get off back in the annexation
Sorry.
Discussion,
yeah.
but it does, because wasn't that one of the arguments made by council members that voted against the right of referendum for the people coming in? They didn't want that money spent elsewhere. They wanted those resources to stay in the city.
Right. And if you remember, LaVon Manzi, who's the president of the council, had brought up that we're going to look at moving the PJ
yeah.
around because we don't want all this money going out into the police jurisdiction. So the debate going forward will be interesting, because I disagree with you. I think something will happen with the PJ. I think that I don't think the status quo will remain in place. I just.
But you think this ordinance will be voted through?
With amendments, yes.
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Not as it stands.
You could add some unlimited number of amendments, and it becomes a different thing.
I think they're going to repeal the tax, and they may even limit because they're legally allowed to either get rid of the PJ or move it to a mile and a half instead of three miles. I think you're much more likely to see them move it to a mile and a half and allow the more urban areas to remain in the PJ and have the more rural areas with the sheriff's department.
Has anybody run that number? Because, you know, we've told within the PJ, we're looking at maybe 60, the number keeps moving, but let's say, because I've heard as high as 80, I've heard it, let's say it's 65,000. Right. I'm just trying to be accurate. 65,000.
It's somewhere between 60 and 80.
Right.
That's I would say it's probably closer to 60.
Okay, so we'll pick 65,000 people. Has anybody talked about this at the council meeting? If you draw that line at a mile and a half, what does it become? Split it 50-50?
No.
Does it split it 80-20?
No.
90-10?
Right. The vast majority of the people live within
right
a mile
there.
And a half. Yeah. I don't know what that number is, but I know it's the majority. It's not. It's clearly not 50-50 because you've got the more urban area right there on the cusp of being in the city, and then you've got the more rural areas. And frankly, the more rural areas are the areas where the calls take the longest too, because the police are driving in and driving out.
Right.
And that's what's that sort of argument's what's been what kind of led the Mike Dow administration to create the beats and stuff that we have in the police department within the police jurisdiction, because we used to just the city used to just respond, and they got to where the they'd go out into the PJ and they wouldn't ever come back because they went from call to call, so they started setting up beats, and that's how we got to where we are now.
All right, so this is the regular council meeting. You had the ad hoc committee meeting tomorrow afternoon. Are there any other outside regular council meetings happening? Is this finance meet about this more or anything?
They're going to have at least one more ad hoc committee meeting about this to kind of come up with some sort of recommendation.
Are they able to present amendments in those, or do the amendments have to come up inside regular council?
They can discuss amendments and recommend that amendments be added, or recommend that it be passed with amendments. Yeah, they can't vote on amendments.
Okay, but they
themselves.
But an amendment could be crafted inside the ad hoc committee.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the amendment could be crafted in ad hoc, and then it could be presented at the regular council meeting.
That's correct.
It's a lot. It's
and
a lot.
I think that it will pass with a few, one or two amendments for sure.
So
I think
it's just
pass.
As few as one or two amendments.
I think it will. Yeah,
it
yeah,
passes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then would it keep that timeline that Councilman Dave said, 2 years?
I think that might be one of the amendments, because that is one of the things that Connie Hudson, the county commissioner, brought up in her the few minutes she had to speak at the committee meeting was, we need more than the 2 year time period. And Joel Dave has already said he's fine with pulling, with moving the timeline back. He just doesn't want to eliminate the timeline, because then nothing will happen.
Well, and that's one of the things that I celebrated when this came to me, is I said, you know what, forever the PJ has been used, the pulling back has been used as a political tool. And nobody's ever called them to the mat. Nobody's ever been called to the mat and say, yeah, because it's always talked about. But at least this ordinance will make people be on the record for how they are on this.
Right. And, depending on how this goes, you might have, obviously, they're joined at the hip with annexation. We're going to have another discussion about annexation. Incorporation into Sims has been talked about. Incorporation into, the city of West Mobile has been discussed. So we've got a lot of things to go from here.
As always, man, I really do appreciate your reporting on this.
Thank you.
Check it out, Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com. And believe me, we're just getting started in this discussion. I'm out of here. Well, I'm still on the battleship. But the next show coming on, Tom and Cal, Scuttlebutt Radio Network, on the way next, live from the USS Alabama.